Get ready. Here comes another great podcast from the Norfolk Chambers of Commerce. Connecting, supporting, and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.
Welcome to the Norfolk Chambers podcast. I'm your host, Hayes Carver. And in today's podcast, I'm chatting with Roshenda Smith, founder of Nurture Marketing. Roshenda, we are in the most amazing place having this podcast.
Yeah, we're at GridServe Norwich, and this is your first time, isn't it, Hayes?
It is my first time, yeah.
You've been missing out. Actually, I was a little bit late to the party with it myself because I missed the launch, but somebody told me about it, a member of my business network, and we met here, and I was just absolutely stunned by the quality of the resources for small businesses in Norfolk. So I come here all the time.
So Nurture Marketing, when I first met you, it was at our Business Climate Leader with Dr. Nigel Hargreaves. And straight away, I think I was really struck by just your energy and your zest for life and marketing and what you do. So before we go on and talk about where you are now with Nurture, could we just go back a bit and talk about how you actually came to be Nurture Marketing?
Yeah, sure. So I hit the big 4-0 next year, and so that means I've been working in marketing for 18 years. And I think I got to the stage probably in the last 3, 4, 5 years where I just really probably wanted to work for myself. But for one reason or another, it wasn't the right time. COVID hit, needed to have savings in the bank, and I dallied with freelance a couple of times, but didn't make a success of that, mainly because I had no business plan, no written down marketing plan for myself, and I had no direction. So I decided to go it alone this time because I had the funds, just sold a flat in Ipswich, and I thought, you know what, it's now or never. Big 4-0 around the corner. If I don't do it now, I'm not going to. So Nurture was born.
So for 2021, you've set up Nurture Marketing. People have approached you and said, these are the things we need to learn about, or are you just seeing those gaps in people as they're setting up?
I think a little bit of both. My experience has told me that there's probably 8 to 10 main marketing tactics people can use to grow their businesses. So it's just tapping into the whole selection and ensuring businesses are aware of what's out there for them.
And it's a very different business model, isn't it? It's not just marketing. And that's what I think is so interesting about it. The name Nurture absolutely personifies your mission statement for your business. It is to nurture those people.
Definitely. I wanted to set up a marketing company that was different from anything else in the region. So it's almost a DIY marketing company, I would describe it as. So the work that I do empowers the small business owner to go away, learn key marketing and business development sales skills for their business so they can grow it themselves. So I just provide the tools for learning, mentoring, and helping them with opportunities along the way.
Because it's a scary subject, isn't it? If you're just starting out, you've got a very small business, you don't have a marketing department. And actually, I was talking recently in a podcast, but there's so much noise about marketing. And it can be baffling, and you just don't know where to start.
A lot of businesses I speak to have had a bit of a haphazard way of doing their marketing. So just throwing things at various techniques and seeing what sticks, whether that might be Facebook ads or hiring an SEO expert or whatever it might be. But I think where I can add value is with my 18 years of experience, I can help draw them back a step and create a bit more of a strategic plan for them that they can follow themselves over the next 12 months that should get them results.
And I think that's important, isn't it? And you yourself said with your journey about COVID and the pandemic, it puts plans on hold. Everybody in that time seemed to think, I don't have a digital presence, I must have one. And maybe some people kind of rushed into that without thinking, just to be visible. But it's about being visible, but actually having somewhere to send people the right place. And that's, I think, often difficult.
I think there's so many platforms out there. And I always say to business owners, you've only got the same amount of hours in the day as Beyonce. So you've got to optimize your time in the best way. So what are the low hanging fruit, the easy wins that you can get in terms of leads for your business? So people might be spending lots of time on TikTok because it's the latest platform. But actually, if your audience is on LinkedIn, then why not cut out all the rest of your social media platforms, close them down and just do LinkedIn. Takes balls of steel to do that type of thing, but it's effective. And you've got to think of it as a pie chart of your time and how best to allocate that time to get the best results.
And I think so many businesses are time poor right now, aren't they? Especially with the energy crisis, and recruitment's very difficult as well. So finding the right staff, sometimes if you're a small business owner, you might have four or five hats on at the same time.
I think with small businesses, it's not always affordable to have ongoing retained marketing support. So accessibility is one of my core values, and I feel that all businesses should have access to quality marketing. So hence why Nurture was born.
And it makes sense that quality marketing is about marketing you understand. So often people are paying for services and they think, well, I don't know, because it's not a tangible thing you can see, but it brings in results. But if you're waiting a few months for that, actually the more you understand yourself, the more you're aware of, actually, that's not my strength, I will go to somebody.
Definitely. And also, I always say to the clients, you know, let's work to your strengths, because some clients are totally comfortable being in front of the camera doing YouTube videos, and some just aren't. Some prefer the written words, some prefer audio like we're doing today. So really does depend entirely on the client and their industry, and also their goals, actually, because they can have quite different goals. So it's making sure we have a plan that will help them grow and achieve their business objectives.
And is that what most people are they? Are most people coming to you saying, we just want to get bigger, or we want to reach more people? Do they have, or do some of them just not know? They just know they don't have any marketing at all.
I think so. I think most of my clients, I would say, have tried some tactics themselves and have either failed or there's been no strategic plan underpinning it. And because I'm quite high energy, as you know, I think that helps draw people in. So I draw them in, kind of explain what I do, and then they buy into it. And to be honest, the beauty of it is they can turn it on and off as and when they want to see me, that, you know, they can cover my time to go in there, set them new marketing homework. But if they don't want to see me for 6 or 12 months, that's fine too.
I love the idea of homework. That's so important, because it'll sink in and it'll really work.
I actually give them homework sheets. So this is part of a marketing masterclass that I offer, which is a 3-hour intensive session with small business owners. So it's just with myself and the client. And we spend the first half looking at business development tactics and the second half looking at marketing tactics. And then by the end, they get a little Excel sheet that I've pulled together for them with a 12-month operational plan that they can put into practice. So generally speaking, you know, we can only remember 3 things at a time. So I'll give them some homework just for that first quarter, and then they'll report back into me and let me know how they've been going over the course of the months as well, which is quite nice. And then we catch up.
And how successful has that been?
Super, super popular. At the moment, they've all been B2B. I don't know whether that's just there's a high proliferation of B2B businesses in the county, or whether that's just a complete fluke. But yeah, I've had people from photography, creative industries, print company, disability mobility company, engineering firms, estate agency. So a whole range of industries across Norfolk.
That's interesting, and that is a really good cross-section.
Yeah, and they're all interested in marketing. And I think, I don't know if we should mention the dreaded R-word, recession, but at the end of the day, it's going to get competitive out there. And if you're not shouting from the rooftops about what you're doing, then your competitors will be. So I think now is the time to get on board with creating a marketing plan and getting stuck into what you're going to be doing in the foreseeable.
Yeah, and you absolutely need to get ahead and do it now, rather than just chasing your tail and trying to catch up with everybody else, because I think that's what a lot of people did at the beginning of the pandemic.
And also, another mistake I see businesses make is that they'll do lots of marketing when things are quiet, but when they get busy with customers, the marketing tails off because they don't have the time. And that's a dangerous cycle to get into, because you need to have a consistent flow of leads in. So the idea with Nurture Marketing is that it's a 12-month plan, so it's consistent, which is lovely.
And I think that's such a valid point, that even when you're a freelancer, when you're really, really busy, that's when you're busy making your work, but you actually need to be doing your marketing then for when you're going to be quiet. And you sort of forget that when you're stuck in the middle of, I've got these orders to make, I've got to keep these customers happy.
Yeah.
But you've got to think about the customers that you haven't yet met.
Funny you should mention existing customers as well, because retention marketing is something I speak to customers a lot about, because the low-hanging fruit, the easy wins, are actually speaking to previous customers, or customers who have lapsed, or customers you've done quotes for, but they weren't ready to go ahead. So actually having some kind of re-engagement plan with them is just as good, if not better, than going for new customers all of the time. So I feel to be successful in that area is a real mix of those two tactics.
Yeah, it's all about the customer journey, isn't it? And wherever that customer left you, that's where you've got to pick them up. And then look at how that journey develops for them.
I think as well, with how things are going with the economy, customer service is going to become really important. So those businesses that really do value their customers and put their customer first, listen to customer feedback, create products and services that customers actually want, not the board wants, they're the ones that are going to be successful and ride the storm.
Are there any sectors that you think maybe that has been missed off? Or are there any kind of businesses that you've seen where customer service takes a kind of second step back? I mean, so often now you don't see phone numbers on websites for people to actually speak to somebody. It's email us.
I know, that's such a pain, isn't it? Yeah. Or you get those chatbots that aren't actually human. Automation, I guess, the debate is whether to automate or not. And I'm still a bit of a, it's strange, because I'm a marketing person and a lot of the marketing I do is digital marketing. I have one foot in automation and I have one foot in sort of traditional customer service. And I think it's a mix, because people want different things at different times. If I'm in bed at night and I'm on the Waitrose website and needing some help, I probably don't want to ring someone up. But if there's somebody there as a remote support, I might answer. But equally, I don't think you can beat face to face. For me, seeing customers every single time is really, really important. And I'm also very much into keeping an eye on what they're doing, and I can do that on LinkedIn. And if there's a work anniversary or they've been promoted, something exciting happening, I'll send them a little branded nurture greetings card just to say well done and thank you.
And it's those little touches, isn't it? I think certainly as a business, you can have both feet in automation because you're reaching more people and you're helping them. But actually you want the business to have their heart in customer service, and actually I just want to talk to someone.
Definitely.
And it's having both, but I understand it's a fine line when you're looking for more customers.
And business is all about relationships, right? And I think that old saying that the best form of marketing is word of mouth still lasts now. And I think that's why, in terms of all the social media platforms out there, LinkedIn is fantastic, because it's almost the digital version of that tactic.
And we were talking recently about, in another podcast, about LinkedIn and how people use it so differently now, and it's become more open. And certainly, are you seeing that now with marketing, that you can be more honest?
Definitely. There's people out there that don't like that style, and I've seen that when people have been really open, saying, well, this is a business forum, it should just be about business. But for me, and I can only talk for myself, business is about people and relationships. So I love to see that stuff, and I can relate to that stuff, and I think a lot of business people can. I think with LinkedIn, you just have to be careful what you post, in terms of whether it's constantly promoting your business. That I would say it was a no-no, do a little bit of that, but definitely that sort of behind the scenes sort of content, the added value tips are amazing.
Yeah, because it's about the people in a business, and there are so many different, you know, there's so many different marketing companies, but actually what it's about is the person that you relate to the most out of all of those companies. It's the relationships, and that's essentially the Chambers with networking. You have six different marketing companies, but you know you just love that person. They're going to help you. That's how it works.
It's so true. That is how it works. And I think now marketing has changed for the better, because a lot of it now is about brand and personal branding, and that's a trend that's come through probably over the last 5 years, and it's a trend that I think has resonance, because people like to buy from people they know and trust. So putting a face to a business is really important. And again, those businesses who are hiding behind sort of faceless organizations and want to be seen as perhaps bigger than they are, I think they're doing themselves an injustice. Actually now more than ever, they should be pushing their staff forward.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. I love there was a recently a thing with Aldi and M&S and some big supermarkets on Twitter having those little bickering arguments.
Love that.
Do you know, that kind of marketing just makes me smile, because it just gives some personality to a big business.
Absolutely. It's fun and actually gets really great results for your business. So I have intentionally set up a business that I don't particularly want to grow in terms of personnel. I don't want to have a big agency of people in an office. That's just not my vibe. You know, my business is kind of about my personal brand. If you go to my website, my face is all over my website and all over my marketing materials, because I know in this current climate particularly, you've got to be better than your competitors. And what have I got that's different from my competitors? That's me.
Well, you are your USP.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We all are. You know, and you today, you're the face of the chamber for me. So having a lovely time here at GridServe is great. And it just fosters those warm, fuzzy feelings I have about the chamber.
I love that. So within your business, what are you most proud of? Because it's a relatively new business, isn't it? As in nurture, you've got tons of history behind you and skills and talent, but it is new. So what are you most proud of?
Do you know, it's been going for 3 months now, so very, very short amount of time. The thing I'm most proud about is the social impact that I'm having. I really believe that as a business owner, you have a duty of care to give back to your local community, the community in which you live and work. That's just another core value of mine. It's really, really important. In my first ever job when I graduated from UEA, it was actually for a homeless charity in Norwich called St Matthew Housing that doesn't exist anymore. So that was my first experience really of dealing with people who were homeless, dealing with poverty, mm-hmm. dealing with issues. And all throughout my career, I've always had that affiliation with that sort of cause. When I worked for a web agency in London, I did quite a lot of work for St Mungo's homeless charity in London. So when I relocated back to Norfolk, where I'm originally from, a couple of years ago, the feed were on my radar, and I got involved with them because it just so happened I had put on LinkedIn that I was remote working from a cafe in the city centre, and the marketing manager Chris Elliott of the feed saw this, and because I wasn't sat in a feed cafe but it was very close, Aww. He reached out to me publicly on LinkedIn to say, we're just around the corner. He was hot desking there, come on down. So we met. And it was that face-to-face interaction which really got me excited about the feed. And there and then I knew that they were going to basically be my charity of the year. So as well as that, I've also volunteering my time with Norfolk Pro Help, which is a fantastic organisation run by the Norfolk Community Foundation. And that organisation puts professional people in touch with charities, social enterprises, not-for-profit organisations in the county. So I have donated one marketing project per quarter to them. And I've been working with a great organisation up in North Norfolk, the Wells Community Hospital Trust, to help them with a food bank project that they've got going up there. So the best thing I'm proud of is definitely that community involvement.
And I think it's so, you're absolutely spot on with, if you're in a community, and we all are, and I think from all the lockdowns that we've had, that's when you realise more than ever, and with an energy crisis, that people need help. And actually to do that, you're helping yourself and you're telling more people about you, but it's about deeper values, I think, and certainly that's just coming across now.
It definitely is. It's not something that I'm doing particularly for the PR and marketing value, although that's a bonus. It's I just want to help. One of the things I first did when I set up Nurture Marketing is I donated a brand new washing machine to the Feeds Social Supermarket project. So that enables people now in the Lakenham area to go in and wash their clothes. If it's too expensive to run a washing machine because of the utility prices and they can't afford a laundrette, well, what are they supposed to do? But you know, now they'll be able to go down there and wash their clothes.
And their social supermarket is amazing, isn't it?
Really feel the business community can have a key role to play there as a unifying force for good.
And I think Norfolk business community is very tight-knit, and as soon as a charity posts on LinkedIn, we need some help, then it just rolls in. I know last year at B2B, the feed were asking for food to be donated, and I know that ended up being a huge thing for Chris to have to take home, but actually that really works, and it's nice that you're working with the feed and those other charities to do more.
What I like to do as well is, if I find something that I like, I kind of stick with it and try to produce the best results for it. So my partnership with the feed, you know, for the next year, I'm putting everything into it. So if I can have networking events there, I can do my workshops there, I meet friends for lunch there. It's about awareness raising as well as trying to raise funds for them. It's the whole package.
And they're the best sausage rolls in Norfolk.
It's very true. Apparently the mayor of Norwich, they're his favourite sausage rolls. He was tweeting it. They do quite a good vegan spread, so there's something for everyone.
Let's talk about the four-week course and your 12-week intensive course.
Yes, the Fast Track Intensive.
Yes.
In the new year, I'm going to be launching something new for Nurture Marketing, which the aim of it is to provide quality marketing services to a wider network of businesses, perhaps East Anglia and even further afield. So that's going to be a four-week online course, fully live, so no pre-records, with myself, and it will go over the foundations, the four core areas of marketing, over a period of 4 weeks, and it will run on Monday nights, 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. So it's £200, and the idea is not only will you learn some great pearls of wisdom to grow your business, but you'll also be able to network with like-minded people trying to do the same.
And that's great, because you're then building another base of contacts who are in the same position as you, presumably in different sectors as well. So that's actually really useful and helpful for your networking.
Definitely. And again, for me as a solo person in business that's not planning to create a large team, to have that tribe, to have that community is amazing. And I learn as much from these small businesses as they learn from me. So it really is a reciprocal relationship.
I think your biggest challenge is going to be staying as small as you keep saying you want to be, because I can't see that happening with your enthusiasm and your passion for marketing.
I can't stop marketing. It's a real pain. It's a real pain in the bum. It's like in my blood. Once you pop, you can't stop. But it's very, very similar. I read a fantastic book called A Company of One. It's a business book. And it's not necessarily about just employing one person, but it's about having a business where you have the mindset of just being a solopreneur. And the essence of the book really inspired me to set up Nurture. And the foundation of that book is around building a better business, not necessarily a bigger business. So growth is fine up to you get to a certain threshold, if it enables you to have a couple of days off a week or time to go skiing or whatever you want to do. But it's no good if you just want to keep growing and growing year on year, and then your quality of life diminishes. And like the famous rapper said, mo money, mo problems. So the more money you've got, the more problems, because you have to have the infrastructure, you have to have the personnel, you have to have the processes built in. And actually that takes away from the core business. And I want to go out there and help grow small businesses across the UK with quality marketing. And how can I do that if I'm just one person? Through education.
And I think that's often a misconception, isn't it, with marketing and with people setting up a small business or people with side hustles. They think, oh, I'm just going to start doing this because it gives me time, it gives me family time, it gives me balance. Then it just kind of snowballs and it gets bigger, and then you're dealing, like you say, with HR and all other problems, and you don't get to have holidays. And I think more than anything over the last 2 years, we know it's got to be about balance. And you've got to have a good home life. You've got to have time and space to think about what you want.
One of my customers and a good friend of mine, we get together and chat, and we say, if we can't have fun, if it's not fun, what's the point of it all? What's it all for? And I never ever forget that and think, if I put the fun at the heart of everything I do, then hopefully, fingers crossed, everything will be fine and continue as they have been. So I'm just so grateful to be in the business community, and I think Norfolk is a great place to do business.
It is. We're a nice bunch of people, aren't we?
Very much so, definitely. You can't beat a Norfolk person. I'm originally from Sheringham, so and my nan, she lived on the common in Sheringham, and my great-grandmother, she lived in Weybourne. So you cut me a nice sort of bleed, crabs and seafood, really.
I love that. So just Connext is our initiative we're running for under 35s professionals, and just, well, I say professionals, it's actually for anyone in any business under 35, whether you are a secretary, whether you are just starting in business. And it's about empowering, encouraging and engaging with them, because no one tells you about networking when you're younger. No one tells you that actually it's about you. And that's why I guess where our personal branding comes in, that actually just be yourself. Be honest, be transparent about who you are, and that will get you a lot further sometimes than the kind of qualifications that you think you must have. So it's a long-winded way of saying, what advice would you give your 25-year-old self? So it isn't going back too far.
So that's an interesting one. So I didn't do any formal qualifications in marketing until I started working in marketing. I actually did a psychology degree. So I don't think you necessarily need degrees and qualifications, you just need passion. I also think the new generation of workers and entrepreneurs coming up, they're used to that digital environment, the Instagram environment, where it is kind of self-promotion and it's selling, it's a personal branding, but they might not be used to some of the more traditional techniques such as face-to-face networking. So it's just using those skills that they've already learned growing up and translating them into the business world. That's going to be the key.
Because I think that generation are all born marketeers. By the time they're already taking photos, does this look good? I'm going to send this. I'll tag in them. They're kind of already doing it.
They're so used to doing it, you know, really, in terms of brand marketing, they'll definitely do well in those areas. But those core skills, it takes time to refine those and learn those. And I think having that Co-Next community will really help with that.
Yeah, we agree too. So, you're not going to grow the way you want. You are going to grow the way you want. For 2023 and onwards, are there any particular sectors or there, you know, really juicy kind of businesses that you'd like to work with?
What I'm planning for the next 12 months is to roll out those online courses. I think they're going to be really effective. And I'm also planning to write a book for small business owners. So a sort of marketing toolkit for small business owners. So they're the things that are in the pipeline. And then beyond then, who knows?
I think you're going to need a time travelling device, aren't you, to fit? You must have a 12-day week that we don't know about.
No, I have the same amount of time in the day as Beyonce.
That is so exciting. And I think if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be you. Oh,
thank you. I like to think so.
Yeah, I really do think so. Rashinda, thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been really, really lovely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce podcast, connecting, supporting, and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.